Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Yo, Eagles Nation, final weekend before we finally get some Eagles football. About a week away as of this recording. The fall weather is finally here. I am so ready for this, man. I want all the fall festivities, all of it. I want football. I want the apple, the pumpkin. I want all that stuff, flannels, everything. I want it all here. We are back, the Philly Pod. The crew is here, as always. I, Stephen Conrad Jr., alongside with the host, Victor Williams. And Jordan is back with us. She made the cut. She
took us a while to evaluate that first episode.
Wait, is this her second or third
second
show
one?
Here?
Second one.
Second one.
We had to evaluate the first one. It took us a minute.
Yeah. I live to see another day.
What's that?
I live to see another day.
Yep. That's what happened with me, you know, and here I am about a year and a half later. I'm the intro now. Vic just handed me the baton.
Yeah, you're about to let it go to your head. People are going to start thinking you're the host. So we're going to have to dip that in the bud fairly quick. But appreciate everybody that's tuning in. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, iHeartRadio, everywhere else you get your shows. We actually just got on Odyssey, so that's a fun thing. So if you get all your shows over there, because I know like WIP and all them, they do it over there. So I had to figure out a way to get the podcast over there so you guys can catch your shows over there as well. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave comments. Do all that fun stuff on the YouTube side. Turn on notifications so you know when all the new videos do go up and live, and be sure to check those out. Thank you guys for tuning in. So, like Steven mentioned, we are about one week away from the beginning of the Eagles season. Everybody that saw the last video and listened to the last show saw me and Steven lose our minds that Fulgham was gone and all the cuts that were made and things like that. So, since then, the practice squad has been released and some players have come back, thankfully. But now we have to understand why some players weren't claimed on waivers and things of that nature. So Jordan is a known and vocal Gardner Minshew fan for reasons we'll never know. So starting with the QB room, obviously Nick Sirianni named Jalen Hurts the starter. It wasn't a surprise to any of us, but at least he came out and solidified it and said that he's earned that right. So Jordan, just your thoughts on the QB room as a whole. I know your guy Gardner Minshew is now in the mix. We have a swagged out QB room, and it's going to be hard for people, as far as style goes, to surpass the wide receiver room or the QB room in Philadelphia, rather. So just your whole takeaways between Flacco, Jalen Hurts, and your man Gardner Minshew. Is Minshew a threat to start here? I don't think so. Neither does Steven. People know that, but he's your man. So how do you view the QB room as a whole at this point, prior to the season?
I'm very excited. I think it was a smart move. What we saw in the couple preseason games for QB depth made me very nervous, and I was very vocal about that on some of the other shows I was on. So the fact that they did notice that and they went out and they made a move, I was very happy about it. I am sold on Gardner Minshew as a quarterback, but I do see him more as a backup quarterback. I don't see him taking over a team and being, he's a perfect backup quarterback. And like you said, the vibes in the QB room, immaculate. You can't with Jalen swag and Gardner Minshew's vibe, whatever the jorts and the mustache and the mullet, like you just can't compete with that. It's unbelievable. Flacco's in there as like the cool uncle who's just watching everything over. But I do think with time, Minshew's going to work and be QB2. Obviously, they can't throw him in as that without even knowing the offense. So Flacco's still there for right now. But I think with time, he'll be QB2. I don't think he's a threat to Hurts at all. When I was so excited about it, everyone was like, why are you so excited? Like, this is Hurts season. Like, and I was like, Gardner Minshew coming in is no threat to Hurts and no threat to this offense, but we do have to remember the importance of a backup quarterback. God forbid something is to happen. And I don't say that with like Gardner Minshew will come in and pull Nick Foles and take us to another Super Bowl. I don't see that being the case. But God forbid, especially with COVID still being an issue, with any godforsaken injury that could happen, we do need someone sitting behind Hurts that could carry us over a span of a couple days, a couple games, just so it doesn't totally tank our season, especially with how the NFC East is looking. And I trust Gardner Minshew to do that more than I trusted Mullins and still more than I trust Flacco. So I'm very excited about it, and I think it's a great move. Yeah, and we got him for nothing.
Exactly, so. Exactly. And that's the thing we have to remember here is that Minshew came in here for virtually, if at the end of it all, he basically, how he found a way to swap Matt Pryor for Minshew at the end of the day, because it was a sixth-round conditional pick for Gardner Minshew that will become a fifth if Minshew plays in 50% of three or more games this season. But who knows with COVID and all that stuff, so who knows how that's going to shake out. And then how he essentially got that sixth-round pick back when he traded Matt Pryor and a seventh, I think it was. So essentially he traded Matt Pryor and a seventh and got Minshew in return. So that's how all that shook out. So you can't be mad at it. Like you mentioned, COVID is still very much a factor this season. Even before the season has started, people are already entering protocols and all that stuff. So Howie wanted to make sure that there was some type of talent in that QB room other than Joe Flacco, some developmental talent that can come in and get some experience if Jalen Hurts can't go for whatever reason. So you can kind of see what you have in Gardner Minshew by default if you need to, and then kind of go from there. But like you mentioned, Jalen Hurts is the leader of this team. It's all known. It hasn't been a surprise to anybody. And Minshew is a good, solid backup that if he has to come in, you can still be confident that they can still win a game. And that's the important thing here. Steven, we all talked about the running backs last episode. They're running with three at the moment with Miles Sanders, Kenneth Gainwell, as well as Boston Scott. And now they did bring Jordan Howard back on the practice squad as well as Jason Huntley. Jason Huntley was responsible for a lot of the kick return duties last year. So maybe they're going to look into see if he's in a specialist role. But a few days removed now that Howard and Huntley is back. Gainwell, you wrote a blog finally today on Kenneth Gainwell being the highest graded rookie on the Eagles this preseason. So there's a lot of promise in Gainwell, which made Jordan Howard expendable. But he is still here in the practice squad. How do you think this running back room, what do you expect from them moving forward, the way it's shaken out?
Well, I'm glad we're here recording this because we had made that video, 2 days ago, just talking about why'd they cut Travis Fulgham? Why'd they cut, Jordan Howard? Because, look, like, we know Nick Sirianni has his preferences and he's going to use these guys in a certain way, specifically the running backs. But, when you look at this running back rotation, I thought it was lacking a power back. So I'm glad Jordan Howard is on the practice squad. I think he's going to have a really minimal role. I mean, it's clear he's a power back, use him in short yardage situations and stuff like that. But even I would like to see this Eagles team be leading some games going into the fourth quarter. Let's just put them away, hand the ball off to Jordan Howard. Miles can do that, but I care about his long-term health. I don't want to just, run him into the ground. But Kenneth Gainwell, man, fifth round pick. I'm literally a Kenneth Gainwell fanboy. You can call me that. I screamed like a little kid when we drafted him because I wanted him. I knew he was good. I think he can be the perfect complement to Miles Sanders. I think Boston Scott's still going to be like the second running back right now just because of like his experience.
He'll be RB1 against the Giants. So best believe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, especially against the New York team. Absolutely. But it'll be interesting to see if Kenny G can like find a way to compete for those running back two snaps. But as of right now, he's probably the third guy in the rotation. So we'll see how it progresses from there. But it's interesting, man. Like a lot of people feel really highly about Kenny G besides me. I think it was Ross Tucker on the preseason commentary had mentioned. And again, don't take this the wrong way. He compared him to Brian Westbrook, a guy kind of drafted a little bit later. He came in as like the third guy, and he ended up being arguably the best running back in Eagles history. I'm not saying, Kenny G's going to be that, but I think he's going to surpass, a lot of expectations considering he was a fifth round pick.
Yeah, and the good point you made is that Mel Kiper also stated that he was the steal of the draft. The way he fell to the 150th pick in the draft is beyond me. So it definitely looks like the Eagles found a gem late rounds, which they continue to do. But you mentioned a power back. That was my first thought, because especially when they brought in Kerryon Johnson, our first thoughts, well, one of them is going to be the power back. It's either going to be Jordan Howard or Kerryon Johnson. And then Kerryon Johnson was waived and injured and all that. So we all assumed, okay, Jordan Howard's going to come in and just pound the defense when they need to wear them out. And now he's on the practice squad. Who knows? I assume he'll be activated at some point. But yeah, don't really have that power guy now. You have Miles, who's your bell cow guy. Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott are both change of pace backs. They kind of both fill the same role. But we'll see how all that shakes out. Jordan, any surprises? Were you surprised that the Eagles are only going with three running backs? Is that a smart way to go moving forward? I feel like four is like the standard, or maybe Steven and I just play a lot of Madden and that's the way it goes. But from your perspective, is three running backs smart for the Eagles moving forward?
I personally don't think so. I was very shocked to see that Jordan Howard was released. And granted, now he is on the practice squad, so we can activate him if needed. But especially with Miles Sanders, who we've seen him deal with injuries here and there, and with the way our roster works, the uncertainties, I think I would have rather been safe than sorry and at least just had the fourth guy on the active roster. But like you said, the power back, that's also in the receiver moving over a little bit. That's another reason why I was so shocked. I know you guys talked about Fulgham a lot. He was like that big body receiver where now we just have a lot of speed. So it's kind of that same thing where they're going like with the thought process that they'll be okay with speed in both aspects. And it could work out great, but if it doesn't, it's a little concerning. So we do have the reassurance. I'm not going to panic because we can bring both of them up if needed, but it does make me feel a little uneasy. I was super shocked when I first saw it, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we're going to have to see how that whole thing shakes out. Jason Huntley is there too. And then once he was gone, I was like, well, who's returning kicks? Maybe Gainwell will fill that spot. We'll have to see there. And punts as well. Hopefully I don't see Greg Ward back there. I would like to see Rager doing it. But maybe they don't want one of their top receivers in there. So I just don't want to see Greg Ward and his like 5.6 return average. Like, I'd rather not see him back there.
Hey, he catches it, man.
He catches it, which is more than what Rager did at some point. So he definitely did catch the ball, which is important that when you're returning punts. So like you mentioned, Jordan, the receivers, Steven and I had a whole fit on the last video about Fulgham and how he's the worst and all this stuff. And then Travis Fulgham goes unclaimed. So now are Eagles fans just overvaluing subpar talent is where we're at? Because the five active receivers now are Devontae Smith, Jalen Rager, Quez Watkins, Greg Ward, and J-Jaw survived yet another year. So hopefully they're going to we'll get into that. So those are your five active receivers.
We know you're happy about that.
We'll get into it.
So, you're happy?
Wait a second. Fulgham and John Hightower were brought back on the practice squad, and then the Eagles went ahead and signed former Cardinal Keyshawn Johnson, who spent some time in Arizona and been in the league 2 years. Not really a lot of time to shine, but maybe the Eagles can get something out of him. So those are your receivers. As far as J-Jaw is concerned, I just think that I didn't think the Eagles would cut him because he has one last time to prove himself. He was a second round pick and he has one more chance to prove himself on a new coaching staff was my thing. And I feel like he can perform at some level. So that's why I'm like, it doesn't shock me that J-Jaw is still here. Jordan, you seem a little upset that J-Jaw is still on this roster. So
I'm just over him.
Yeah, over it in general. Well, I mean, as we should be. But do you like the wide receiver rotation? Were you shocked about Fulgham? You're obviously mad that J-Jaw is still on the roster. So what was your general takeaways from the five receivers that we did keep?
So I do. This is the first year in a long time where I feel comfortable with our receiver core. I like the direction that we're going. And I do, as much as I'm over J-Jaw and he frustrates me to no end, I do understand why he made it, because he can play on special teams too. So it makes sense. And like you said, new coaching staff, maybe they can bring the best out of him. So I'm not going to be totally down on him for right now. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But I was super heartbroken about Fulgham. And that's more as a biased Philly fan. Maybe it is we're buying into him more just because of what we saw him do for us. But he just stepped up for us when we needed him and was basically our saving grace over that span of a couple games. And I did hear his camp was not really impressive. So at the end of the day, it is a business and you have to do what you have to do. But I just still see so much potential in him and I want them to bring it out of him. So I'm hoping he gets another chance to shine. I think it's more frustrating that I feel like he did more for us than Jay-Jaw did, and he keeps getting breaks, but Fulgham didn't get any. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. On paper, it makes sense, and I understand it, but I am still rooting for Fulgham and hoping that he can still make a name for himself, make it back to the active roster.
Yeah, five roster spots is what shocked me, because I thought they were going to keep six. And then when they roll with the five, I was like, well, that's, you know, once they cut Hightower, I was like, well, there's your six, Fulgham staying, and then they cut Fulgham. Or, oh, no, they cut Fulgham first, rather. And then so at that point, I was like, they must be keeping five receivers. But they certainly, they don't have a possession guy anymore. Alshon's gone. So they still needed a guy that can go up and grab 50-50 balls. And it looks like that Jay-Jaw just flat out beat Fulgham in camp. And once Fulgham, you know, had that costly turnover in the last preseason game, we all kind of knew, like, that might be it. Yeah. And then Jay-Jaw had the touchdown, and we're all like, he's going to save himself one last time. So that's kind of half that. Steven, you were all emotional about Fulgham last game. Do you have some solace, some peace in mind now that Fulgham made it back to the practice squad? Or are you more so worried that he went unclaimed and made it back here anyway? Like, what's your stance on Fulgham finding his way back to the practice squad?
I'm just surprised the Eagles were willing to take that risk. Like, that had to be the plan all along. You can't just let Fulgham go. I was worried somebody else was going to scoop him up and he was going to figure it out somewhere else. But I don't know. I like the idea of him on the practice squad. It's clearly a mental issue he's dealing with. Confidence, you know, consistency. That's always been something that's held him back. He's been cut by several teams now, including the Eagles. Now he's back on the practice squad. So hopefully he can figure it out, but because that wide receiver three spot's up for grabs. I think it's, you know, Devontae Smith one, Jalen Reagor two, wide receiver three's up for grabs. I feel
it
like
wasn't Quez, so Quez did what he did. Quez kind of locked that down.
What's that?
I said Quez kind of locked that down. So unless Fulgham, like, you know, goes on another five game burst like last season, but
again, it just depends on, like, you know, like personnel and stuff like that, whatever they're trying to do. And I get the concern about a possession wide receiver. That's why I was upset about Fulgham being cut. I don't know if Jay-Jaw's ready to do that. I really don't know what the thinking is here. Maybe he is ready. You know, I haven't been at training camp. Apparently he outperformed Fulgham. He sure as well, you know, he sure did in preseason, in the games at least. I think there's something to be said, though, about Zach Ertz, though. I know he's playing tight end, but I think he's the possession guy. He seems locked in mentally and physically. I think that's what the Eagles are going to do. Everybody's talking about them, you know, getting a veteran wide receiver, maybe a possession guy or something like that. But it's like a developmental year. We're trying to figure out who Jalen Hurts is. Let's figure out what the wide receivers are. You know, you have a possession guy on the roster. I know he's not a receiver, but he may as well be one. That's what Zach Ertz is. He's kind of like a tight end and a receiver put together. So I'm not as concerned as other people are about that personally.
So I just think that five receivers seems low. They did go light at running back, and like we mentioned last episode, they went light on receiver and as well as running back, and then went heavier on some other positions like linebacker and things like that. So that was what was peculiar to me, that Fulgham didn't even make it over some of those guys. And now he's back on the practice squad, and hopefully he can improve his practice habits or whatever the issue is. But he clearly needs some work to fine-tune, because it's not a third team he's been cut from, technically. So this maybe he just got hot at the right time, and he just, you know, he's plateaued, and this is kind of where he's at. So we'll certainly have to see that. Steven, you brought up the tight end and Zach Ertz, and he brought it up in the press conference, speaking since last year, for the first time since last year, that he's basically gotten over everything over the offseason. He wants to stay in Philadelphia. He wants to retire in Philadelphia. And this is the greatest he's felt in a while. He says he feels good. He feels good now, better than he did this time last season. You know, I think it was ankle surgery he said he had. I can't remember correctly. I know he had surgery. I believe it was ankle surgery that he underwent. And so now he's locked in for the season. The Eagles are going to go into 2021 with both of their premier tight ends, which will definitely help Jalen Hurts, Zach Ertz being the only guy there in that offense over 26, the only pass catcher anyway, over 26 years old. You need that veteran security blanket over the middle that you can rely on. So, Jordan, just your quick takeaways, because I don't know what your whole stance was on the whole Zach Ertz saga over the offseason, but now he's back. You know, the offseason's over, and he seems like he wants to remain in Philadelphia and hopefully retire here. What side of the fence were you on as far as Zach Ertz, and are you happy to see him back, as I'm sure most fans are?
Yeah, I was kind of selfish with that whole thing because I wanted to see him back just because he's such a fundamental part of this team, and he was such a fundamental part of the Super Bowl and us getting there. So from a selfish standpoint, I wanted him to be here and I wanted him to be a part of this team. But at the end of the day, I do respect the hell out of him, and I also wanted the best for him. And if he didn't feel that Philly could do that for him anymore, then I did want him to go somewhere where he could get that. But now that he's here, he's staying, and he seems happy to be here after that press conference, it just gave me a lot of reassurance that it's going to be okay, because I also didn't want to trap him here. I didn't want him to just get stuck here because we waited too long to trade him. Like, I didn't want it to be that sort of resentment situation. So after this past press conference, I feel great. I'm glad he wants to retire here. And like you said, we've talked about over the years, we've had a very old team, like in all across the board. Now we have a very young offense, but at the same time, you still do need that veteran presence. That's very important. I think he will bring that. It seems like the team is moving in the right direction. We're kind of getting that brotherhood camaraderie back that last season didn't really seem to be there. Everyone seemed to be on a different page. So I do like the direction we're moving in, and I'm very glad that Ertz is here and he's happy to be here.
Yeah, it was good to hear. The way he spoke about that, he kind of just moved on from everything. And I can't remember who it was, but somebody asked him, like, do you feel like you were treated fairly? And, you know, as far as what it was, and he said that the Eagles were firm in their asking price for Ertz, and they weren't budging on it, and he can't fault the Eagles for that. They never, obviously, the compensation was never offered, and Ertz is going to stick around now. And it looks like he can still play, not for nothing. So we'll have to, you know, see how that whole thing shakes out. But it's definitely good that Ertz will have both of his tight ends, because he's relied on them a lot in training camp. So I'm pretty sure he's going to look to target both of them just as much as Devontae Smith as far as the regular season is concerned. And also, in addition, as far as offense is concerned, another starter that Sirianni named was Jordan Mailata. We all obviously, again, knew that was coming with the Dillard was getting tossed around in training camp. And in addition to the injury, we knew how Mailata was going to start, basically. So now your starting lineup looks to be Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, Siya Malu, and Jordan Mailata. Steven, as far as the trenches are concerned, if everyone stays healthy, it looks like that Jalen Hurts has a chance to make some noise this season, as long as Devontae Smith is what he is, his tight ends stay healthy.
That'll make some noise, man.
And those trenches, they're getting older. I mean, Jason Kelce, Lane, Brandon, they're all getting older, and half of them are coming back from injuries. But do you feel good about the offensive line moving forward and the depth? A lot of people are making some noise about the depth. They don't know how if one guy goes down, are we going to have another situation like last year, and it's Hurts going to be running for his life. But as the whole OL unit in general, how confident are you in them?
Feel really good, especially barring injury now. I hope nobody gets hurt. I really don't want to go down that road again. But, you know, a lot of the backups have experience starting. You know, you look at Driscoll, Herbig, so a couple of those guys. And then even like Dillard, who, look, I know he got destroyed by Mailata in the competition for the left tackle spot, but he had a good preseason. I think he can be good in certain situations. The offensive line, I'm not going to say it can be the strength of the team, but it can be one of them. I mean, you look at a lot of the guys, Jason Kelce. I didn't even mention Landon Dickerson, by the way, who, I mean, you know, we got to wait a little bit. I still think his road to recovery is a little ways away to go. But I think this season he could potentially maybe push Isaac Siamalu out. So that guy better be watching, you know, over his shoulder, because, like, Siamalu's a decent player, but, like, there's a reason why Landon Dickerson, even with an injury, was drafted that high. Like, this guy is really good, man, and everybody loves him. He's an awesome locker room guy. Is he the long-term, you know, center replacement for Jason Kelce? I don't know what the plan is. I just know he's a beast. He's going to play on the interior. And it's just awesome to see. How many years was it, Vic? You were the one with the stat where the Eagles didn't draft an Alabama player for
I want to say it was 2001 was the last time when they drafted Freddie Mylands in 2001.
That's insane.
So 20 years ago. Yeah, that was the last one. So since 2001, they haven't taken Alabama players. They took a receiver at the time in the fifth round who became nothing to begin with. And then they double dipped here with Dickerson and Devontae Smith. So it's good to see that. And hopefully, you know, Dickerson shakes out and is the successor to Jason Kelce, because this man threatens retirement every year. So we're going to have to figure out who's going to be the answer on there. So that's the offense in general. Ertz is back. Hurts is the starter. Devontae Smith looks to be a high volume target. We hope Rager figures it out. And Quez Watkins is the X factor in all of this. Maybe we'll see Fulgham at some point. So shifting over to the defensive side, the corners, they're only rolling with five corners, going light here as well. Darius Slay, Avante Maddox, Josiah Scott, Steven Nelson, and I forget the fifth one already. But they're going to roll with five corners. And they have Craig James and Michael Jiquette, and they picked up an Indianapolis corner yesterday that they're going to stash away on the practice squad. I'll pull up the roster in a second.
Which corner did you forget? Did you mention?
I said Steven Nelson, Darius Slay, Avante Maddox, Josiah Scott, and I forgot the
Boy, McPherson.
Oh, hey, McPherson. How could I forget McPherson? Fear McPherson. How could I forget him? Yeah, so he's there too. I don't know why he split my mind for a second. So those are your five corners. Jordan, are we surprised again, similar to the running backs and receivers? We only have five corners, but Craig James and Michael Jiquette, who we all remember that Dallas game that Jiquette got cooked on. Mark Cooper made mincemeat out of that man. But are we concerned with only five cornerbacks? And with the current group, are you confident in the secondary? It looks like we have a competent one for now, but how do you feel about only retaining five corners on the active roster?
If they can stay, especially if Steven Nelson and Darius Slay can stay healthy, I'm totally fine with it. I think the two of them can kind of hold it down. I was so happy when we made the Steven Nelson move. That was something I was waiting on for weeks and weeks. And when we finally pulled the trigger, I was super excited. Darius Slay makes me nervous just because it felt like almost every week he was dealing with an injury and it never totally took him out.
Yeah, he was by himself.
He was always limping and he's always walking off.
I would be too. Nobody was on the other side of the field.
Yeah. So I don't know. And I feel like it's going to be that way with our whole roster. Like we were just talking about with the O-linemen. If you can stay healthy, it works. If you start getting to that point where we're dealing with injuries and we're trying to sub people in, I feel like then it could get complicated. But on paper, if everything goes according to plan, I feel pretty comfortable with it.
Yeah, let's hope that Steven Nelson's only on a 1-year deal, so we're going to have to figure out if he's going to play well enough to warrant
a second contract from the Eagles. I hope he can step up.
Last season
he had an offseason.
Yeah, hopefully we can get one of those corners. A lot of people are asking for who's the LSU guy? I forget his name already. Derek Stingley. So people are want him already, and we have three first round. Well, who knows anymore with the whole Carson
That thing is
a mess. So maybe we'll have first round picks if Carson ever gets on the field with the foot or the COVID situation and all that. We'll have to see how that gets more interesting by the week. That whole saga. I don't think there's ever been a more dramatic start to a stint with a team than the thing that Carson Wentz is going through over there. Oh, man, and I will say
he is unlucky person.
I don't know if it's unlucky or just like the whole. Again, with the whole, like, no matter which side of the vaccine situation you're on, but in that instance, to go through all the stuff he just did, and he's remaining steadfast, it is what it is with the vaccine. It's just, it feels like it's more stubbornness than luck at this point. The foot thing is definitely unlucky. I don't know what kind of turf they're practicing on over there.
Yeah.
Him and Quentin Nelson, but the vaccine thing definitely seems like that. He's just kind of like, just going to remain firm in his own way. And hopefully it just, you know, doesn't hinder him any further in the season. So we'll have to see how that whole thing shakes out. And then you got the defensive line rotation. Obviously you got Josh Sweat and Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham and all those guys. This unit looks like it's going to be the strongest unit on the team with the way that the team is currently structured. You have Milton Williams in the middle, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave. They're going to be a force, and they're going to constantly rotate fresh bodies in there that can be just as good as the unit that just got off the field. Steven, is the defensive line the heart and soul of this team? Are we going to live and die by the defensive line rotation this year?
Oh, absolutely. It's been that the last several years, too. It's been the strength of this team. I mean, we were a 4-win team last year, but I mean, when you got Fletcher 49 Cox,
sacks. Third in the league in sacks last year, despite the shit show that it was. Yeah.
And it's even better now that we have a better secondary now. It helps everybody. I can't stress enough. I know we're talking about the defensive line. Jordan had mentioned it, but the Steven Nelson signing is so big because, you know, that was the problem last year. It was Darius Slay on an island. We didn't have somebody across from him. And, like, Steven Nelson has his concerns, but he's ideally a second corner, and it just makes life easier for everybody. You know, even Avante Maddox, by the way, who is a slot corner, he should never have been on the outside. He's like 5'8". That's like asking me to go out there and defend these wide receivers that are, you know, like 6'2" and running, you know, 4.3s and all that stuff. It's just not fair. But yeah, the defensive line, I'm excited to see. I don't want to say a bounce back year for Javon Hargrave, because he kind of had an unlucky season last year. We paid him a big salary, you know, how he's wanted him for a while. He dealt with injuries and stuff like that, but he's been turning it on, apparently. For a while, the talk of the town was he was the best player on defense during training camp. I don't know if you
heard definitely the same thing. He's been a monster in training camp. Yeah,
he's been a monster.
He might have been the best defensive lineman in training camp, honestly, other than Josh Sweat. Yeah, but he was. I would say that's was awesome. Sweat 1A, and then Hargrave and Barnett can interchange for 1B. That's how good they were in training camp.
Was Cox just coasting? I mean, he deserves.
I mean, he's a veteran. You know, he is what he is. But yeah, Hargrave is definitely primed for a big year. It's going to be interesting to see. The Eagles gave him a 3-year contract last year, when they probably should have paid somebody like Robbie Anderson. That was a whole another thing last season. But Hargrave certainly looks like he's ready to take the next step this season. And then the one last unit, the linebackers, for whatever reason, they went with 7, which seems steep here. And this is why I was like, why did they go so light in positions and go with so many here? But if you look at the linebackers, Eric Wilson, Alex Singleton, Davion Taylor, TJ Edwards, Jannard Avery, who's still around for whatever reason, maybe because we gave up that 4th-round pick at the deadline, Sean Bradley, and Patrick Johnson, and they brought back Jacoby Stevens, the rookie Jacoby Stevens, who is the only rookie not to make the active roster, but they brought him back on the practice squad. So, Jordan, we all know how the linebacker shook out for us in the last few seasons. Nathan Gary was as good as food, and it shows you how bad Nathan Gary was, because he didn't even survive training camp in San Francisco. So the fact that this guy was starting for us last year shows you how incompetent the Eagles are at even scouting linebacker talent. But you have Eric Wilson here, who had 100-plus tackles last season. Alex Singleton also had 100-plus tackle season. Two strong guys in there. TJ Edwards has shown promise. And you have guys like Sean Bradley, Davion Taylor, and others that look to hopefully, you know, harvest their potential. As far as belief that the linebackers won't get carved up over the middle, where do you stand with the linebacker core of the Eagles heading into this season?
I think the reason that they went so deep here, and this is where they were putting most of their focus, just because there is so much uncertainty. And yeah, there are guys that are going to come out and be bright lights throughout it all, but you don't exactly know for sure. It's not like our O-line or D-line where you have guys where you can trust them and guarantee and know for sure. So I feel like that's why they wanted so much depth here. So if things aren't working out, they can change things and kind of figure it out as they're going. Like you said, we're not really good at linebacker ever. So we're just figuring it out. So I think that's why it is what it is. And it kind of stinks that other positions had to get kind of skimped
right
so they could do this. But at the end of the day, I do understand it. And I'm just hoping that maybe after this season, we can finally get into a groove and have a more stable situation.
Or draft a linebacker in the first couple rounds.
Or that would be nice. Yeah.
I was a big Patrick Queen guy. I was a big Patrick Queen guy in the draft a few years ago. And now he's lighting it up for Baltimore. So that is what it is. Steven, real quick, why is Jannard Avery still on the roster?
You know, I had said in the last podcast, last video we made, like, when you looked, and again, it's different now because a lot of guys were retained on the practice squad, so they're still technically on the Eagles roster, I mean, if you want to say it.
We were livid that last episode. We were animated in that one.
I don't know, man. A lot of a lot of, I said it last time, a lot of the players that Howie specifically invested draft capital in made it over guys that probably should have made it over them. You know, you look at
Because they're going with their, they're going with the precedent that this is a new coaching staff. You need to find a way to harvest the potential out of this guy. J-Jaw, if you can get something out of him before we cut ties with our second round pick, if you can find a way to get anything out of him before we just move on,
I get it.
It's a new coaching staff. The offensive scheme was horrible last season. Nobody could get anything going. Carson was terrible. Everybody was terrible. The offense in general was just a shit show. So they're hoping that maybe J-Jaw, under a scheme that knows how to put players that have those type of skills in the best positions to succeed, maybe we'll see the Stanford skill out of him. And maybe, I guess, to your point, that's what we're hoping for Jannard Avery, right? Is that where we're going here? They invested a fourth-round pick for him at the deadline a couple years ago. So let's hope that at some point we can – Jonathan Gannon can see whatever Jannard Avery is.
Who my eyes are on, Davion Taylor, third-round pick was used on
him. My man was on fire in camp before the injury.
He has potential, man. Like, I think if he pans out, it changes a lot at that position, because as we know, this let's just call what it is. This Eagles linebacker group might be among the worst positional group in the NFL. Like, I'm serious. You compare it to other position groups?
I mean, Singleton and Wilson, I don't think they're the worst.
Yeah, they're
serviceable at the very least.
Yeah.
This man just hates the linebackers. But that's
now they are, but like, it's easy to say that
Eric
now.
Wilson is poor in pass coverage, though.
Bound to produce.
Very bad in pass coverage, Eric Wilson. So we'll have to – and he missed a lot of tackles last season. So we'll have to – we need a
three-down linebacker, man. All these guys that are good that we're talking about can only be on the field
for – we need a guy like Fred Warner in San Francisco. That man can hawk people down. Davion Taylor does give me hope, because I remember one time last season he bit on a fake by Lamar Jackson, but he hawked that man down some type of way. If you can hawk down Lamar Jackson, you have some type of skill or just flat-out speed.
I'm tired of serviceable guys. You know what I mean?
I mean, aren't we all? This is what we got.
This is what we got. Out there and make plays.
Yep, and they're not going to do it with linebackers, because they figured, and they just now starting to look into it in the secondary, but they live and die by the defensive line. That's been a thing since Jim Johnson, and it looks like it's just going to continue. If you can get pressure with the defensive lineman, we don't need linebackers, and we only need corners that can cover for the first 8 seconds if we don't care what happens after that. So that's the way they're going to think about that. So that's in totality the whole our analysis on the roster as far as the practice squad. For the people that aren't on the visual side and can't read it, we had it on the ticker here with the practice squad, but the players that it consists of as of today, if I can get it real quick. So it was offensive lineman KOD, I don't even know how to say his name, but KOD Awosika, whoever that guy is. So he's on the practice squad. LaRaven Clark was retained as well. He was a guy that a lot of teams had interest from around the league. Like, a lot of teams wanted him on the practice squad, and the Raven Clark chose to stay with Stoutland. So that goes to show you how important Stoutland continues to be for this team. Travis Fogum, obviously, John Hightower, Jordan Howard, Jason Huntley, Michael Jaquette, Craig James. Man, I would have never thought Craig James would find a way to stick around on this roster. Matt Leo, who's in here through the International Pathway Program, so he doesn't count towards the practice squad. He's a 17th player that we got to have because of the international program. Sua Apeta, been here a few years. Ross, I can't even say his name, but Ross Pierschbacher is here. And
the center, right?
Yeah, the center. And the Eagle seamstress is probably ripping her mind out because she has to keep freaking writing this dude's name on jerseys. So I know she's having a fit. My guy Elijah Riley made the squad, finally. We talked about it on the last episode. Elijah Riley, and you're like, your guy didn't make it. So the safeties are Kevon Wallace, Rodney McLeod, who's going to make his very best to play week one. Kevon Wallace, McLeod, Anthony Harris, and Marcus Epps still here. Marcus Epps and Elijah Riley, hopefully I would like to see him on the active roster. You have Jacoby Stevens, the rookie, Raekwon Williams, defensive tackle, Keyshawn Johnson, who they signed from Arizona, Marvin Wilson, the defensive tackle, he has some promise to him, and then you have the cornerback Andre Shashir, it looks like, who has Jonathan Gannon ties and can cover a little bit. So that's your entire practice squad. Hopefully some of these players we see, Jordan Howard, Fogum, Elijah Riley, those are some guys I expect to see called up throughout the season. Jordan, is there any other, I don't want to say issues, any other points you have to get out about? Because this man, she's She's I thought that she was gonna come on here and say how Minshew was about to be the starter, and I was gonna have to like leave and like, because she was. Did you see her when Minshew was like announced? She was up and down the Instagram, Twitter.
Problem here.
I was like, yo,
Minshew, like
you're allowed to like players. But she was at the like Minshew's about to run this team. That's what I was thinking.
No, and that's what I was like. I'm excited that he's here just because I appreciate him as a player. His energy. Now that like he's on my team and I can root for him and see him, I might go out and buy a Minshew jersey whenever they're like, I might have to do it.
She wanted
just
this
to
man
have
to
it
beat out Trevor Lawrence.
But this is Jalen Hurts' team.
Trevor Lawrence stole his job. Oh man, that is crazy. It is crazy to see him here though. That's one trade I didn't see coming. But we all know how the right? Eagles value the QB room, so it shouldn't shock anybody. I like how Howie tried to act like that QB factory wasn't a thing. He was like, "Remember where?
Oh
QB-
my, that's
man,
right.
Did you
like,
see him?
On.
He was like,
worst,
what
dude.
Was it?
He's
trying to make
worst.
A joke.
He's like, what
he
is
knew
that
damn
was
well.
Doing?
He knew damn well.
Come on,
what it was? Oh man, that's
step
anything.
Aside Howie football season.
Yeah, it's no longer Howie season. Anymore. It's called the regular season. Get to the back of the line. It's time for Nick Sirianni to see what this man can do on the field. We appreciate everybody who tuned in to watch the video, listen to the show. Be sure to subscribe. Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, the Odyssey app, as well as YouTube. Be sure to follow these guys here. Steven, follow him on Twitter at Steven Conrad Jr. Follow Jordan on Twitter at The Sporty Jordy. Steven, what's coming up as far as Liberty Line? And you put out a Sixers video, right, not too long ago on that Sixers channel you do about Ben. About Ben, yeah. Yeah.
Toxic stuff.
Toxic. You want to talk about toxic?
what was it? It was our reaction to the Ben Simmons report that came out, man. That's why I'm just so excited for Eagle season, because there's just so much to be excited about. The Sixers, like, boy, what a toxic situation that is, man.
Yeah. Thank God Tyrese Maxey.
Yo, subscribe
Rich
to the
Paul,
Pod
the whole...
TV, man. What are you doing? God. What are we doing here?
I told him
all the behind the scenes. Well, Vic's doing the behind the scenes stuff right now during the video, but post-production. I'm your guy.
Yeah, I'm literally the during production. So that's what's going on. This whole ensemble of show you're watching, it took a lot of work. So appreciate everybody that comes in to watch the show. Jordan, what's coming up for you? I know you just got done a few appearances and you got onside checks and all that fun stuff. What you got coming up? Where can the people find you at?
So I'll do my YouTube videos weekly with sports betting advice, breaking news, all that fun stuff at Sporty Jordy on YouTube. Onside Chicks will be live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on YouTube and Twitch. And then I'll be hosting Fantasy Underdogs Mondays, Wednesdays, and Sundays before all the games start, just to give fantasy advice, tips, tricks, waiver wire pickups, all that fun stuff.
Jordan's advice, loan advice, is draft Justin Herbert. So if you, that's all she's going to tell you today.
Of course,
I got
him in one league and I got Josh Allen the other.
Yeah, so that's all the advice she's going to give. So that's, speaking of betting props, we gotta get started on those shows. So the next few ones, there's some props I meant to bring up on this show, but we ran out of time here. So we'll dedicate some stuff on the next future episodes. Thank you guys for subscribing. Follow all of us on Twitter. Be sure to check out all the future episodes. Hit that bell for notifications. Until the next one, y'all, peace out from the Philly Pod.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.